I just want to share, first of all, my testimony, to let you know what was my walk with the Lord before coming here to Emmanuel. Very short. My name is Juan Ancalle. My wife Lilian is there. Together we have 6 grown-up children, 4 girls and 2 boys, and 2 granddaughters. And I grew up in a Christian family. My parents converted to the gospel for the missions of the faith. The people coming from Europe and the United States went to Latin America. Among other places, they went to Bolivia. I converted to be a follower of the Lord Jesus and called to the ministry at the same time when I was 8 years old. Baptized when I was 16, graduated from La Paz Bible Evangelical Seminary at 23, got married with Lily at 24, entered the full-time ministry when I was 26, founded and pastored a church until 36. After 4 years of a transitional bivocational ministry, we immigrated to the U.S. Some transitional bivocational work here in the U.S. also until 4 years old. We are called to start Montclair Tabernacle Church of God ministry, Hispanic ministry, when I was 42. Then called to serve at Emmanuel Bible Church, Hispanic ministries, when I was 45. Now I am 63. You have an idea how many years we are serving with my wife here. Then I want to share, first of all, a short story. Yeah, it's already done. Yeah. About this session, what's the reason or the motivation of this session? When I arrived to the U.S., my first job was in the electrical field. Part of my background is in electrical engineering, so the closest thing I could do was a job as an electrician. I remember I was taken by a relative to an electrical company, which was hiring people for a building of 16 stores in Reston. I was really new to be an electrical worker, and I had a lot of theory knowledge in my head, but zero experience with my hands, zero experience. When the foreman of that building saw me, he liked my "I want to learn" attitude, which was true, because when I came to the U.S., I always wanted to be part of this great nation. Basically, I moved from Bolivia with my family to the U.S. The U.S. was my new home. Since I didn't have any experience in the electricity field, the foreman, he gave me an entry-level position where the pay was very low. Perhaps you are wondering how that can be. I had the knowledge, but not experience in the field. I was being employed not for the knowledge, but for the zero experience in electricity I had. That was it. I had very little English. I may hardly read and understand. Speaking and listening was almost zero. Immediately he said, "You need training." That's what he said. "You need training." Okay. That was the first thing I was working, first time I was working in a multicultural setting with people from all around the world, American-born people, East European people, Middle East people, and of course the beautiful people that speak the heavenly language, as Luis Palau used to say, Espanol, my brothers, Latinos, hermanos. The word training got stuck in my head and in my mind. I was about to know what my foreman was saying, whose name was John, or was him, what he meant. He put me to work under other guy. He was in charge to do electrical layout for the rooms and apartments until in the units we were working. This guy put me to nail boxes, electrical boxes. You know what? He didn't describe to me the kind of boxes I was about to nail. He did not explain to me the electrical capacity of those boxes or any design theory of that boxes. He just wanted me to nail those boxes and nail them well. That was what he was saying. He used to say, "Juan, I want you to do everything you are learning just one time. And very well done, because if we need to correct them, we lose time and money, because you install one time a box wrongly, then we need to uninstall it, then we have to install it again, and that makes 3 times and makes the cost 2 or 3 times higher. Then I want you just to nail those boxes well, that we don't need to do it again. That's what he used to say. Training. Just running my head. He also used to say, I know that you are not fast as the others are. I was very slow as a worker. I am still slow. But whatever you do, we don't have it again. We don't have to do it again. And he said, and I like it. Then I was nailing boxes for a long time when I learned how to nail boxes. I learned how to nail boxes very well. I was zero good with the hammer, but today I can still nail a box even if you blind my eyes with a band. That was hands-on training. I can do that whenever, wherever you gave me a hammer, I can do that. That training was so good. It was humbling work learning experience for me. It was totally different of what I did before. Later, I learned the existence of the National Electrical Code, applied for electrical licenses in Virginia, Maryland, and DC, and I got them. But then I thought, why not to do the same kind of training in ministry? What's the way that the Lord Jesus Christ trained his disciples? The answer is yes. That's about discernment, servant leadership, hands-on training in ministry. Hands-on training in ministry. It's not just teaching, but hands-on training. More than a systematic exposition, what this session is going to be is more a sharing of our experience applying the servant leadership principles taught for our Lord Jesus Christ here in our Hispanic ministries here in Emmanuel Bible Church. Then we'll pray. Father, we pray to you the time we open the scriptures, your word that is inspired, which is your revelation and inerrant, where you order your will as sovereign Lord of the whole universe. Today, we come ready to learn from you the way that we should lead your people, those who bought you with your precious blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for our church leaders, for our elders and pastors, our ministry leaders, for those who have the responsibility to lead others. We thank you for the ministry you gave us in this corner of Braddock and Buckley, for Emmanuel Bible Church, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to need a volunteer to read for me Luke 22, verse 24, 29. Please, one of you, please. Luke 22. Then I'll go there. There it is. Luke 22, 24 to 29. Hopefully, some of you brought your Bibles. Really, this session is based on Mark the Gospel. Yeah, 22, 24, 29, if you have it. Yeah, you're going to read it?
Yeah.
Okay.
A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. And he said to them, the king of the Gentiles exercises lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you, rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. For who is the greater, one who reclines at table, or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? But I am among you as the one who serves. You are those who have saved me in my trials, and I assign to you, as my Father assigned to me, the kingdom.
Okay, thank you, Lily. Yeah, the Lord Jesus Christ taught that the leader is a servant who does the things with love, humility, and service. That's what is going to be the end of our study here. But the Lord Jesus Christ exercised his leadership serving others. That's what we see in the Gospels. And the Christian leader is basically the one who serves others. That's the Christian leader. That's what it is. And I have that here. Sorry. Yeah, the Lord Jesus Christ taught that a servant leader does the things with love, humility and service. The Lord Jesus Christ's idea about leadership is laid out in the passage we just read in this session. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, we hopefully will be able to understand the biblical perspective of leadership taught by our Lord Jesus Christ. In the verses 22, the Luke 22, 24, 29, before that, the Lord Jesus Christ instituted the Lord's Supper, a figure of his imminent death. It shows them that he did not come to rule over his disciples, but to serve them. The biblical model of leadership is the opposite of the model of the world. That's what it is. Then we have a key verse here in Mark 10:45. But if in an introduction to the four Gospels, let's see. Well, before that, Emmanuel, in its regulations, also talks about leadership, but any member, active member, may be a leader at Emmanuel. That's what it is in our regulations. There's no more description of how that leadership is about in our regulations. That's why we have the scriptures, and we are going to do that today. Well, I was saying that in an introduction to the four Gospels, we can see the recipients and their key text, as we have in this part, and the way they present the Lord Jesus. If we pay attention, Mark presents the Lord Jesus as the servant of God. That's what it is. In this session, we will be presenting the Lord's teaching regarding leadership by service recorded in the Gospels. Then we'll go to the Gospel of St. Mark to see the application of these principles, since Mark presents the Lord Jesus Christ as the servant of God. Mark is just presenting the Lord Jesus Christ as the servant of God. That's Mark all about. After that, we'll quickly see how Paul follows these teachings and the reflection of one of IBC elders who is with the Lord right now. I don't know if you know John Hartman. John Hartman wrote a paper about servant leadership 10 years ago, 13 years ago. Then the first teaching that we find here of the Lord Jesus is in Matthew 11:29-30. Then the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, is speaking to of himself, and says that he is meek and humble. He is a servant of God. The Lord Jesus Christ truly loves people, serving selflessly and giving his life for them. And he expects his followers also do that, especially the leaders, those who direct the people, to be humble and meek like him. He's modeling to do that. He's not just saying that, but he's modeling to do that. Then Matthew 11:29-30, perhaps you can give, did you give the papers? Okay. You have all these notes in your sheets. Then Matthew 11:29-30 is talking about the meekness and humility of the leader. That's what it's talking about. And the Lord saying, leaders, he's modeling that, and the leaders need to be like that in order to, we'll see later, to gain the confidence or trust of people. That's one thing. The second thing we find is Mark 9:33-35 is talking about, I'm not going to read every passage, it's very long, but Mark 9:33-35, the disciples were discussing who was the greatest. And the Lord Jesus Christ told them, if anyone will be the first, must be the last of all and servant of all. That's what was teaching the Lord Jesus. He's saying that the leader is humble, is the humble servant of everybody. That's what he's saying, the Lord. True greatness is not achieved by striving not to be prominent or have power, but showing humility by an attitude of service to all with modesty. There's a difference between the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of God. The leadership are in these kingdoms are opposite, totally opposite, because the leader is the humble servant of all. That's the teaching of the Lord Jesus. We'll see another. Mark 10, 35 to 45. He's talking about sacrifice, service, suffering. Then James and John, sons of Zebedee, go to the Lord Jesus in this chapter. And they ask, grant us to sit one at your right hand and the other one in your left in your glory. And the Lord answers, you do not know what you are asking. You are able to drink the cup that I drink or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. Then the others, the disciples, when they hear that, they say, and when the ten heard, they began to be indignant at James and John. Well, the verse 38 refers to the sacrifices or suffering that, like the Lord Jesus Christ, his disciples will later undergo. This is what he meant, drinking from the same cup or being baptized with the same baptism of the Lord. In verses 33 and 34, he tells them that the way to be great is to be serving others. That's the key part. Serving others is the way to be great. And the verse 45 is the central theme of Mark's Gospel and sees the Lord Jesus Christ as servant. He is the servant. He came to serve, not to be served. He came to serve. And he's modeling that. He's modeling that in Mark. Let me see. Matthew 23, 1 to 12. The humble will be exalted. That's what's talking about. Because it's the Lord Jesus Christ's words are very strong here. The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. So, do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do, for they preach, but not practice. He also said, they tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. And in verse 8 to 10, he's telling them not to use honorary titles, calling themselves teachers, or exalting themselves in any way that should diminish the brotherly relationship in verse 8, or surpassing the unique place that the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father have over each believer. Then Matthew 23, 1 to 12 is talking about the humble of the leader. Leader needs to be humble, and the humble leader will be exalted. 5 now. Then Luke 22, 24 to 27, the Lord recommends that among his disciples, the leader will be not like in the world, because they lord over the nations even. Even with those who are older, they will be servants, as they were young in the Jewish society. The Lord Jesus Christ wants us to be like those who serve at the tables. The leader is one who serves, not is the one who is served. Then this very known passage in John 13, 3 to 17, the Lord Jesus Christ washes the feet of his disciples, and that's what he's saying, that it's necessary to serve each other. Nobody's more than the other. And the number 7, John is stating in verse 34, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another, but these all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Then a good relationship between leaders and the rest of the congregation is based in the love for one another. In this way, in this form of leadership, everyone will know that you are children of God. Then summarizing, we may say, a servant leader will be meek and humble. He will be a humble servant of all. He will be willing to sacrifice, serve, and suffer. And he will be exalted for his humility. As one who serves, he will be willing to serve others in the humblest work and will be an example of love for each other. Then we can say, perhaps in one sentence, the Lord Jesus Christ instructs that the servant leader must act in love, humility, and servanthood. That's what Mark is saying, and the Gospels are saying about how is the servant leadership. Then, with this, we'll see how is in Mark the application of Lord Jesus Christ as servant in the Gospel of Mark. Then we see here, the Lord teaches to serve by doing good. That's in Mark 3, 1, 6, and Mark 6, 45, 52. In Mark 6, 3, 1, 6, when we healed a man that he had problem in his hand, or in Mark 6, 45 to 52 is when the Lord Jesus walked over the sea. In both passages, the hearts of these people were hardened. In the first case, because due to the legalism in compliance of the law, Mark 3, 7. And in the second case, because he did not have faith. They were not prepared to see miracles like the Lord Jesus walking over the sea. In both cases, the Lord feels the need. And he says, we have to serve humbly, but to do service. But now he's serving them. He's helping them to get healed, because as leader, he wants to feel the need they have. Then perhaps the question is, how today we can apply, how we can feel the needs today of people. We can show Christian love to generate conditions of sharing the gospel for them to have a good relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We can also make a phone call to people. Now we can send perhaps a text, somebody sick, or find the resources or medical resources for helping the people. My background is doing the ministry, the Hispanic ministry, and sometimes that is very basic. When you need to talk about to follow the Lord Jesus, and before you see the great needs, then how you can ask them to follow the Lord Jesus, because you see first of all their needs in front of you. How you are going to do with their needs? They need something. They need sometimes they need medical attention and they don't have anything to do. Then when I see this passage, the Lord Jesus healing people or walking over the sea, filling their needs, is teaching to his disciples how to do that. And there are creative ways in the way we can do that during this time. In every context is different, but we can always feel the need. And that's what we do. Sometimes we have connections here in Northern Virginia to help people to find whatever they need. Or helping people to improve their circumstances, generate better conditions to have good relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If we help them in their needs, the relationship we are favoring, that the relationship with the Lord is going to grow. But if their needs are still in front of them, and we don't do anything, we don't just get creative to help the people, then probably they are not going to be following the Lord Jesus in the way we want. Sometimes we need to get creative. That's what I do. We do in our ministry. We get creative in the ways we can help people. You know, people sometimes look like they don't need help. Like everything seems to be fine. You greet them. Everything seems to be fine. How are you doing? I'm doing well. Everybody's doing well. But sometimes they have needs. Needs. They have needs. You talk a little bit, then you realize what are those needs. Then if you help them, that's what the Lord was saying. Feel their needs. The Lord teaches, serve by doing good to people. Always doing good to people. People need always. Sometimes people just need to talk. Sometimes people just need some interaction. All right. Then the other thing we learn is in the second point is the Lord teaches them to trust God. You see Mark 6, 30 and 43. I'm not going to read it. But the Lord multiplies the loaves and fishes there. The Lord shows the people the need of direction and leadership because they were like sheep without shepherd. And that is why Jesus begins to teach them many things in verse 34. The responsibility that the Lord shows to the people is not only limited to spiritual needs, but also to the material needs. Both go together, learning our Lord's teaching that satisfies the soul and trusting in the Lord for provision. People need to know how to trust in the Lord. People need to know, to see how others are trusting in the Lord, to practice. For example, when you go to get a job or somebody goes to get a job, they don't say first pay me, then I'll work. You never do that. You may say, okay, how much you're gonna pay me, or how much is the salary? You may say that, but you never say first pay me, then I'll work. You trust, right? If the payments are like every 15 days, or the payments are monthly, whatever is the way they pay, you trust them. When they say, I'll pay to you after, let's say, 15 days. Or when you log in your bank account, you don't see actual green dollars in your screen. You just see a number. But you trust, have the money there. You may say, we have a strong financial system. Just remember the Great Depression. I've been in a country when the inflation goes wild. Or when you go to buy with a credit card or debit card, they trust you because they are not seeing really green bills of dollars. Businesses do not see the dollars, but they are saying, I trust you, then I'll give you whatever you are saying you're going to give me. They don't see anything. You just see numbers. That's all you see. But you trust. The system is based on trust. The same thing, Christian life. But people need to learn. And the Lord Jesus, in this passage, was teaching them to trust. Not just, it was hands-on thing. It wasn't a theory class. It was just a practical way for waiting for the provision of the Lord when he multiplied all the things. I remember it was the time of COVID. This lady called out the church looking for help. We have here in this church, we have the POD, Pastor of the Day. My Pastor of the Day is Friday, okay? You want to talk with me, then Friday I'm available here, 2 p.m., okay? Then they called me. When I went to meet her in the narthex area here, she was crying. She arrived to the U.S. from Spain. She lost her permanent residence in Spain, her status there. She came to live with her sister, but she put her on the street after like a month living with her, and she was there with no place to go, no money, no job, literally nothing. I asked her if she was a believer, and she said yes. She was asking me what she will do. I told her, go back to your sister's home and ask for 2 weeks more to stay there. Meanwhile, she can trust in the Lord, in the Lord's provision for her. And I said, as we say in the Hispanic ministry, I'm going to say this in Spanish. Hispanos en Cristo, más que una iglesia, es una familia. That translated into English is the Hispanic ministry, more than a church, is a family. Come. I told her, I offer you a family. A family in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on Sunday. If you want to meet this family, come on Sunday. To make the story short, she came on Sunday. The next week we found a room for her where she can live. Next, a family got a job for her. Later, one of our families has a company, provided a job for her, and is working now, and is in our ministry. There are creative ways to help people. Ministry needs to be hands-on, practical. There are ways that we can help people. But sometimes we don't know the people's needs. That's the other thing. We don't know the people's name, because people sometimes that don't, they don't speak clearly about that. This calls us to reflect on a day in a way which the leadership should be approached. What's the role of the leader in our ministry? After the Lord Jesus Christ walked on the sea, in Mark 6:45-52, he tells them that their hearts were hardened because they had not understood the miracle of the loaves. They needed to trust, even in difficult circumstances, in their lives. Then if you teach them, not just saying, trust the Lord, but teach them, you trust, and then you teach how to trust the Lord, they will learn in the practical way how to trust. Well, the next thing is talking here is the Lord teaches them to gain trust of others. In this passage is interesting because Mark 6:45-52, when the Lord Jesus walks over the sea, if you compare with Matthew 14:22-33, in Matthew it is Mark omits what Peter is talking about when he walks over the water. Why Mark may omit when Peter walks over the water? It seems to be that Mark is the version, Peter's version of the gospel, and he didn't want to show that conversation with the Lord Jesus. But what's teaching this? It's teaching to gain the confidence of his disciples. That's what the Lord Jesus is talking. In order to minister to their lives, first of all, I need to win, to gain trust from you. That's why the Lord Jesus said, Peter, come. Because Peter wanted to walk over the water, the Lord Jesus said, come. Come. Trust. Come. And then after that, Peter started to just fall down, and the Lord Jesus just hold him. Jesus was teaching to gain the trust of the people, to give them security, because they had natural distrust due to the way they experienced authority day by day basis in Rome. Because that was very rude in Rome. It's just if you, a soldier were walking around in the roads and you were walking there, they may take you to do something without paying you, without anything. Then in order to win the confidence of people, then you need to create a relationship with people. We need to talk. And this time it's very difficult to talk with people. Every time thing flows by text. Right? Text. Or whatever, social media. And people just don't want to talk. They don't want to talk. But the only way to create trust is interacting with people. Not electronically, but in person. Because in person, when you talk with them, you see their body language, you see their expression, they see your expression, they see your body language. And that's hard during this time. But it's good to gain trust from them. I just want to share a story. Before COVID, we were looking for a truck to do the ministry here in our ministry. So, and then I went to Facebook Market, right? Before for me was, hello Daniel. Before for me was Craigslist, but then I went to Facebook Market to find a truck, because before I lost the truck, the Ford Ranger I had, very old. Then I looked for a truck, same Ford Ranger. Then I found it, a truck, 2002, like 20 years old truck. Because we need sometimes to help people, right? You need a truck. You need a truck to take the stuff. Sometimes people, when come to America, they don't have anything. You need to move beds, all kinds of stuff. Then I went to this guy, and he was from, I don't know from what country. He said, you know, this truck can last like 11 years or one day. That's what he said. I don't know why he said 11 years or one day. Then I was thinking, I will prefer that this truck last 11 years, not one day. But when I was driving home, close to home, the truck started to leak. I said, this is going to last one day. Not 11 years. But anyway, I was just trusting the Lord, you know. I was just trusting the Lord because we didn't have that much budget to buy a nice truck. This was an old, very old truck. Then I just took my truck to the mechanic, the mechanic we have. And he said, you know what? This truck is very old. You cannot fix it because it's 20 years old. And if you buy to the company, you go to the company, order the parts, you're not going to get the parts because 20 years old, they are not anymore factoring anymore the parts. The only option you have is just to go to the junkyard. Perhaps you find something similar, get the part, take it out and bring it to me. That's what I did. Yeah, switched parts. Then I went to the junkyard and got that and to my mechanic. And he said, oh, you found the part. I replaced the part. And you know what? I paid him $45. That's what he charged me. $45. And the part I paid in the junkyard was $8. We fixed the truck with like $50-some. And it's still working. The last week, we made like a major repair. It was like about $500. But after 3-4 years serving in ministry. Then why I'm telling this story? Because you need to win the trust of people that you're ready for them to help. You do whatever is in your hands to help them. You do your part. And they are seeing what you are doing. They are seeing in the daily basis what you are doing for them. You have an hour truck. Now you can move their stuff. And this is God's provision. In some way, I trusted the Lord also because about that truck. But there are other ways, and mostly my wife does. Lily does for me sometimes all the carrying with the truck. She's driving the truck. If you see Lily driving the truck, probably taking some stuff for people. Then there are other ways that we can help people and win their trust. Always, sometimes we are always ready to give a reference call, or a good behavior letter, or perhaps talk to their bosses. We do something to help them. Then the Lord teaches them to gain the trust of others, that you are ready to help them in whatever way they need. That's what we do. I have some stories to tell you about what we did helping people, right? And I'm not afraid to go, let's say, to a company and talk for somebody, look for the top man in the company and talk for somebody. I'm not afraid. I may go. And I talk with them. And then the fourth times fine. The Lord teaches them the service for God. That's another thing that is very important. The Lord is teaching here. The Lord Jesus Christ does not stop serving. As when the Lord Jesus heals the Syrophoenician woman. And he says in verse 7. And he entered to the house and did not want anybody to know. The same thing when he heals the dead. Jesus charged them not to tell no one. Or when the Lord Jesus Christ feeds 4,000 people in Mark 8, 1 to 10. Or when the Lord Jesus heals the blind man in Bethsaida. He says, don't even go to the village. These four passages, the Lord Jesus is telling them, do the things, but do the things for the Lord. Don't do the things for credit. Don't look the credit for you. Serve the Lord. Whatever you are doing for the Lord. It's not for the people to think high from you. The Lord Jesus did this even when people was in against him, and then recommended them to his intention was to serve God. His intention needs to be to serve God. The Lord teaches that the service is for God. Whatever we do in ministry, whatever we do as leaders, is for the Lord. Is for the Lord. And that's what the Lord is teaching. That we cannot just look for credit for us. Verse 5. or 0.5, is the Lord told Peter to put first his interest, not put first his interest before God. Then you've seen those passages in Mark 8, 27, 30, or Matthew 16, 13, 19. When the Lord Jesus said, I'm going to die, I'm going to go to the cross and give my life. Peter was saying, no, how you can say that for you? You're having bad wishes for you. Because Peter was thinking in a position in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ taught him not to put his interest first, but to the Lord. And that's a thing that the Lord Jesus just, in the practical way, taught Peter. He said, not look for his interests first. And that's the one thing that we need to teach the people also when we are leaders. For example, when we serve food or we have celebrations, we don't have to put ourselves first. Or when we have ministry opportunities, we have to prefer that others serve the Lord, help them to grow in the Lord. The Lord taught Peter not to put his own interest before the Lord. And that may come very easy in ministry. Very easy. Because you're a leader, you see the opportunities first before others. Then you can take that opportunity for yourself. But the Lord is saying, no, don't put your own interest first. Do it for the Lord. Prefer others before you. That's what the Lord is teaching to them. In the practical way, because that's what he did. He went to the cross to give his life. And in part 6, he's teaching sacrificial service. That's another thing. For sacrifice, it's a little bit difficult sometimes to make it fit here in America. We like the comfort. That my experience going to the jungle in this last trip to Copatasa, to Ecuador. The jungle is the jungle. It was humid, wet, no bathrooms to take shower. We had to go to the river every day not to take a shower because the water was muddy. It was just to get a little bit of fresh in our bodies. When I came back to the U.S., I almost kissed the carpet in Dulles Airport. When I felt the AC, wow, man, that feeling is just... Then I said, what's happening to me? I'm missing the AC now. I never grew up with AC, but I'm just getting used to the America's comforts, right? Well, not bad, but... But the Lord is teaching here sacrificial service. It's clear that the Lord's disciples, despite having been him for a long time with him, they weren't understanding what kind of servant was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was about the sacrifice, to sacrifice his life. And they were fighting, who is going to be the greatest? That was his fight. Who is going to be the greatest? The Lord said, among you is not going to be like that. You are brothers. One is your father, and one is your master. Neither use any titles. One is your master, and one is your father. Then the Lord teaches the sacrificial service. He will give his life in the cross, and that's his service. Mark 10:45. He said, I'm going to go to the cross to serve. I came not to be served, but to serve. And to serve was to go to the cross, to sacrifice his life, not just living every day, but giving his life in the cross. That's servant leadership. And that's the way he wants us to serve in ministry, to put, first of all, the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we need to say no to the comforts that we may have or leave the comfort zone. I was talking with Pastor Michael Connor, and I said, what happened, my experience after coming back this last time from the jungle? They used to say to me, I'm leaving my comfort zone. Michael, I never been there. What's comfort zone? But it's the first time I feel that I have comfort zone coming back from the jungle. It's the first time in my life in 23 years living in the U.S. The Lord teaches we must accept being leaders by service. And comparing Mark, Mark 3:1-5, Mark 6:45-53, Mark 8:14-21. Making a comparison, Mark 16:14. When presented to them after his resurrection, they continued with hard hearts. They could not believe. They didn't believe in the Lord Jesus. Even after his resurrection. Later, Peter and Paul and the other disciples learned how is the servant leadership. The Lord had served until the death. He been humble, sacrificial, and served, and he had fulfilled Mark 10:45. His service was complete. Likewise, he wants us to be believers, to be leaders by service. And Paul did the same. We are not going to be very a lot information about Paul, but Paul did the same. Paul does not take advantage of his condition. 2 Corinthians 10:8. And then Paul exercised his authority as an apostle. He had authority, he had power, but he never used that power for personal gain. Paul avoided self-promotion, self-exaltation, 2 Corinthians 4:5. That's a danger in ministry when one's leader self-promote themselves. Everything that we do in leadership needs to be done for God's glory. For the Lord, not for us, for God's glory. Then I want to finish with this. This is a reflection of an elder from Emmanuel Bible Church. He's with the Lord, John Hartman. He was my ministry assistant husband. He preached several times for our ministry. Perhaps you remember him. And he said it's absolutely essential that men appointed to positions having leadership responsibility be of the highest character, with servant hearts, a spirit of humility, a willingness to serve sacrificially, shepherd's love for the flock, an abhorrence of lording it over others, and determination to refresh and strengthen those under their direction and care. It is necessary to consider the gifts required for this position according to the New Testament. This reflection came after our last senior pastor we had at Emmanuel was the last. Then the next came the lead teaching pastor, who is Pastor Jesse Johnson. Our church was reflecting how is going to be the next teacher of Emmanuel. That was our reflection. And John was reflecting on that. He wrote three questions in a paper, answered those three questions, and this is the end of his short conclusion in that paper. And that reflection was, we don't need any more, we are not going to have any more senior pastor. We'll have a lead teaching pastor. Because we learned by experience at Emmanuel. We grew as church and Emmanuel. And when I remember this paper and I was writing about the servant leadership, I remember John and his paper. Then I said, probably John said something about what I'm going to talk. Then I went to his paper and I found this, and it was similar to what we are learning today. I guess that's in the way we landed here at Emmanuel. The leader is a servant leader. That's the way we believe. And there are practical ways. It's true that some examples I use today is from my context, the ministry I serve here in Emmanuel. But there are always ways that we can apply the same principles in the context we are. We need to be creative, giving answers to the people, helping the people in their Christian life, because the goal is to help people to become like Jesus. That's the goal. A leader needs to work to help people to grow in the Lord to become like Jesus. That's all what we have to do as leaders. We can entertain people, we can tell stories, we can say many other things. But the main goal is just to help them to become like Jesus. You be like Jesus, help them to be like Jesus also. You learn something from Jesus, teach them to be like, in the practical way. Remember my story, nailing boxes, in the practical way. They need to learn how to follow the Lord Jesus, but in hands-on kind of ministry, doing the things, not just knowing the things. I had in my head a lot of knowledge about electrical engineering, and that's my background. I may work in whatever area, perhaps, but that was knowledge. My hands didn't know what to do anything. I didn't know how to use a hammer, but they trained me how to use a hammer very well. Then I said the same thing could be in ministry. And people need to learn by modeling. By modeling what you are teaching in the practical way, they can see how they can do the ministry. And the same thing is, for example, sharing the gospel. You train them sharing the gospel, then you go with them to share the gospel. You train them here, then they take them out to share the gospel one by one. I know it's not for everybody, but the Bible says that is for everybody. Perhaps not the setting, sometimes the setting is where we choose sometimes. But the next week I'll be teaching something about this in a session. But that's what ministry is, hands-on ministry. Not just knowing the things, but helping the people, modeling for them and teaching them how to do it. And they will do it. They will grow in the Lord. I don't know if you have questions. I'm open to answer questions or comments or something. If not, I may say some more words.
Thank you, Pastor. I'm just overwhelmed because I really love to serve people, and your example helps me. And since last week, I felt like when I'm serving, sometimes I feel like I'm not doing enough. Mm-hmm. But when I heard like last week, it was just like, okay, it is enough. It's just like this lesson was like giving me comfort in, not comfort, but what do I want to say? Giving me assurance.
Okay.
That was, I'm working towards mm-hmm. what God wants. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm here. I love this lesson. It really helps me, and I love that he was a servant. And I wish that we could all really understood this in the church. Not at this church, but as a church worldwide, that we are servants. And we're supposed to model Jesus by serving others, by example, like you're saying. So thank you very much for the class.
No, that's so. Thank you.
I wanted to say something along that line. last Sunday, you were talking about sacrificially. Mm-hmm. You know how if you're serving the church and you love other people, but sometimes God wants you to give sacrificially when He tells you to. Mm. You know, and that's I remember last Sunday I was like, I was looking at when you look at your accounts, it's just nothing but numbers. But sometimes the Holy Spirit would tell you through His Spirit, once you give this number, give it. And so that's what I did. And so through faith, mm-hmm. Give sacrificially through faith, through Him, and I will bless you seven times more. When you're blessing the community, when you're serving, when you're doing all things, mm-hmm. but if when God tells you to give sacrificially, mm-hmm. that's important. That's giving mm-hmm. Obedience, mm-hmm. being obedient mm-hmm. to Him.
Yeah.
In fact, He's serving you, mm-hmm. but if you're not doing it, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So.
That's true, and we are blessed for generosity. If you cannot do something or you can buy perhaps something for yourself, but you prefer give it to somebody that is in need, you are sacrificing yourself, which is good. Generosity always good. Comes from your belief, from your Christian character, that you know the Lord Jesus. But there's another reason also to serve. One day, will be in front of the Lord Jesus, all of us, not for condemnation, but for rewards. And one day we're going to be standing in front of the Lord. And then we're going to give account of our stewardship, what kind of stewards we were in front of the Lord. Then you will remember, you will have very great surprises there if you serve the Lord. You know? Why? Because I didn't know that this person came to the Lord Jesus because I served the Lord. I didn't know. I didn't know. But in heaven you will know.
I felt that, I felt it in my spirit, like God was telling me, okay, you know, give this. But no, give it up. Give it. It's like, you know, because in the Bible it says that the money that we own is not yours, it belongs to
him. Yeah. That's a stewardship. Since we gave our life to Lord Jesus, nothing is ours. Nothing. We belong to the Lord. Right? Of course, we have to be good stewards with our families. We have to care ourselves also, because we have to be good stewards of yourself. But we have to live with eternal perspective. One day we are going to be in front of the Lord Jesus, standing by ourselves. And he's going to say, what did you do with all the things I gave you? What did you do with all the talents or gifts? All the things I gave you, what did you do? Hopefully everybody's going to say, I did my best, oh Lord Jesus. I did my best. That's servant leadership. You do the things for God's glory. We do the things to build up people's life, to become like Jesus. You look for that thing in every believer. Every believer, your goal is that to be like Jesus and help them to be like Jesus. That's the ministry about. That's the ministry about. If we teach, that's the reason. If we help, that's the reason. If we share an experience, that's the reason. If you see the scriptures, see Acts, all the scriptures, you see that. Especially the New Testament, the fulfillment of the promise, that you will see that challenge of the Lord.
Lily? I think we can add it that one of the passages that we mentioned here, it's about Peter walking in the sea. The Lord says, don't be afraid, because sometimes in this culture, they are afraid. They are afraid to talk with people, they are afraid to say what they will say, we are entering his life or whatever. But in Bible context, it's not that one. Is trying to help all the people come to the Lord. And we have to be out of our comfort zone. Don't be afraid and go and help the people. And share the gospel and help the needs and anything that the Spirit put in our heart. Sometimes we don't listen to Spirit. We just say, oh no, I'm afraid. I don't want it. I don't have time. Or then we do. I will pray. But we don't put hands on.
Yeah, that's the part the church a little bit in general, I'm talking about the church in general, starting the first century, has lost, right? And then that's a part that we just need to be creative to do it. We do in our Hispanic ministry here in Northern Virginia. A lot of things happens in that ministry, a lot of things happens. Lives changed, it's incredible. But we need to be creative in those things.
In that Hispanic community, in that Hispanic community, it's a movement.
Kind of. Yeah, kind of. Yeah, it is true. Some other questions or comments?
One
comment? Okay.
One more.
Okay.
I think I would like to say thank you to Daniel. Because he served us in his family. I don't know how many years he is with us. Playing the battery. He didn't know English. He came to us to help us. And thank you,
Daniel. Yeah, no. Actually, he's the one who like smiles when we're singing together. So thank you, Daniel.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, it's the Lord put in your heart to serve your brothers, and thank you for that. We appreciate that. You will see. I think little surprises when you are in heaven with the Lord about your ministry. And that's what it is. All right. Okay, if there's no more questions, then we can finish with a prayer. Can somebody pray? You can pray? Okay.
Father God, thank you for this time. Father God, thank you for this message, Father God, that our dear pastor had brought us to you, Father, about servant leadership, Father. Father God, I pray that you would just help us, Father, to serve you, God, this week, Father. Search our hearts, Lord God. Search our minds, Lord God. Father, you know, Father God, what we talk to you today, Father God. Father, you molded and grinded in our heart, Lord God, to what it is, how to be a servant in your name, Father. May you serve us, Father God, but you pray for us, Father. Father God, help us to take it seriously, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you.